Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting a television show or season that we think you'll find interesting. In this episode, I'm joined by my sister, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on the third and final season of the 2023 Night Court series. This is a sort of continuation of the original Night Court. We've got John Larroquette as Dan Fielding. We've got otherwise all new characters, with this judge being the daughter of the original. We talked about the second season, I think it was, and I've had mixed feelings on the show throughout.
Well, I think last time we talked about it, we basically said that John Larroquette is the highlight and why we tune in.
I would say, for the most part, I do think the one who plays the bailiff,
Lacrita,
she does a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm. And they made Gergs an interesting character,
yes,
which helps.
She is the standout new character of the bunch. Most of the rest, I think, are cliche sitcom characters.
They're one-note characters.
At best. They're one-note, but they're off-key notes.
Yeah.
Wendy Malick was a good addition this season, but it almost felt like she was playing the equivalent of the Dan Fielding character.
Yeah.
The one who was just kind of out there, anything goes kind of mentality. I mean, she wasn't a female Dan Fielding, but she filled that narrative role in a way that was very much needed, because the Dan Fielding character that we had from the original series doesn't, can't, and shouldn't exist in this day and age.
Agreed.
And I think John Larroquette did a good job of portraying a older, wiser, more seasoned, more mature Dan Fielding. It would have been nice, though, if there'd been repercussions of his past antics. Kind of, I don't want to say coming back to haunt him.
Yeah.
But his past only seemed to be, he was from Louisiana in this series.
Yeah.
But this is the kind of series, and I don't mean Night Court is this kind of series, but this writer's room writes the kind of series where the backstory of any character is always up for grabs based on the needs of a given plot.
And we definitely saw that towards the end of the season.
Suddenly a few people have a history of alcoholism, or at least they're in Alcoholics Anonymous now, and that seemed to come out of the blue for one of the characters, and then another we had heard about, and it's like that seemed out of the blue for both.
But Dan Fielding walking up to an AA meeting and recognizing the signs.
Yep.
That part was good, especially the blunder of walking in with alcohol because he thought it was a party.
Well, and his reaction and stuff like that was appropriate. Again, John Larroquette's a terrific actor. Obviously, in the original Night Court was brilliant. His other work since then, dramatic roles as well.
Yeah.
Very good. I think this show had no idea what to do with him as an actor or Dan Fielding as a character.
I think the closest they came to giving him some good comedic material was in the episode where there was a defendant who came in and he'd been part of a murder mystery thing, and he would not break character and be himself in the courtroom.
Yeah. There were some good moments throughout the season.
That one had a good scene for the judge, Abby Stone, where she just kind of rushes through the murder mystery with kind of a, if we get him to the end of the murder mystery,
if we play out the holodeck adventure, essentially.
Yes, maybe he'll snap out of it. And Larroquette had some good moments with just kind of the, how'd I get cast as the lady with the parasol, but if I am, I'm going to put on the gloves, I'm going to go with it.
Yeah. He seemed to be game for whatever they wanted. And it just felt like, and I am no expert on sitcoms whatsoever, I tend not to gravitate towards them. I want something that's got a little more meat on the bone. That having been said, I watched the entire run of Night Court during the pandemic. There are other sitcoms that I think are just really good. And this was just a far cry from either really good. It ticked off all the checkboxes of what Night Court has and should be. It just felt it was going by the numbers and lost the heart and soul of it.
They seem to be trying to make a modern version of a show from that would have been, what, the 1980s?
Yeah.
And it did feel like they went back and said, okay, what is a sitcom in the 1980s? It's got the message of the show, each episode, if you will. And they were trying to shoehorn these life lessons in there. And they were awkward.
Well, it was a modern writer's room trying to write what they thought a writer's room of the 80s would have written.
Mm-hmm.
And it was neither fish nor fowl.
I also felt that there wasn't a single character on the screen that respected the law or the courtroom. I think Wyatt is the closest we got.
Wyatt was the sane one of the bunch. Gergs would have been the closest.
Yeah, but so often it felt like neither Dan nor Julianne really cared about the law or what the laws were as they presented the case. It was kind of a, I've been told that this person was peeping. So obviously he's guilty of peeping, let's move on. The cases were almost in the way.
The cases were in the way. They were paper thin. Occasionally they were funny, but rarely.
Mm-hmm.
And there were entire episodes of Night Court where it's let's clear the docket. And it was a series of either sight gags or one-liners for every case. And there were just some really funny ones.
Yeah.
There were some others where they would bring somebody in and it would be kind of a long song and dance kind of a deal. But it was funny throughout. I mean, you look at the cases with the Wheelers from the original series. They were terrific.
Yeah.
You look at them when they bring the Wheelers back now and it's marginally funny at best, cliche at worst, and a waste of Brent Spiner's time, some, at least for the first of them. The second, I thought, the one we got this season is better than we got the previous season. It just feels more like they're going through the motions, and I could never figure out why most of the characters were even there. Because a recent ex-con as one of the lawyers in the room,
as a prosecutor, no less. A
prosecutor, no less, yeah. And not just in general, but in the same courtroom with Dan, whom she was trying to kill a season ago.
Mm-hmm.
Seems ludicrous. Why was Dan still working there?
Abby pulled Dan out of retirement because he was shutting himself up in the apartment.
Dan wasn't actually retired. He was taking jobs serving people. Because remember, in that's the pilot... Right.
Yeah.
He had worked at a coffee shop for a week or two just because he knew the person who he needed to serve was going to come by there.
Yeah.
Sooner or later. And that showed the tenacious aspect of Dan Fielding of he will get what he wants come hell or high water.
Mm-hmm.
That just seemed to evaporate during the rest of the series.
Yeah.
Because he just seems to coast through life at this point.
He's there for Abby. That's the only reason he's there.
And if there was a subplot where he was playing the father figure for her throughout,
mm-hmm.
and that mirrored, say, the Harry and, I forget John Astin's character's name, but that relationship, that would have been great. But we got one aspect or one episode of the season that really goes back to some of Abby's backstory. There's reference of Harry, but it all just seemed to kind of come out of nowhere and didn't fit.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of times where, I mean, I laughed at some of the jokes here and there, but it was more the exception than the rule.
It was not a laugh a minute.
No.
Which is what in the 80s sitcoms were going for.
Well, not just sitcoms, but Night Court in particular.
Mm-hmm.
You had Night Court, you had Cheers, you had a couple others that were just standout shows. And they got the look of Night Court down perfectly. It looked like the exact same building. The cafeteria seemed to morph a little, particularly this season.
Yeah.
Where it seemed like suddenly we were now on the back side of the break room, or, you know, the cafeteria area, whatever. But it lost the feel of the building.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was falling apart around them in the original series, yet there was rarely any mention of that sort of a thing. Here, well, we had the episode with the hole, which was kind of funny. I mean, there were, again, funny moments, but I didn't think the series as a whole was funny. The episodes as a whole were funny. And there were a lot where at the end, that kind of that tag scene fell so flat for me that I just came out of it thinking, it's like, I have a sense of humor. I am comfortable with that. Everybody's sense of humor is a little different. That's certain. Theirs in the writing room is fairly different from mine.
Yeah, I felt that way too.
And what they seem to think would be funny didn't work for me.
Well, even the things that they seem to think were funny, they seem to think it was going to be a grab your belly, you're laughing so hard, and I just barely chuckled.
Yeah, yeah. The episode that had the daytime judge who was trying to be the funny judge, that courtroom scene felt more like the old Night Court than the rest of the series.
Yeah.
And I liked it when they would bring Roz back, or we would get the Wheelers back, or something like that. There were a few nostalgia moments or whatnot. But then we had a few other episodes this season where let's bring in Malcolm Bialik, who was Melissa Rauch's co-star on The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, star of Blossom.
Yeah, and again, she's a tried and true person to bring in. She was kind of well used, but the plot of that episode and the rationale behind why things were happening just fell apart at the end.
That episode did not work for me.
And then at the tail end of the season, like in the last scene, they bring in Simon Helsberg, I think it was, also from The Big Bang Theory, to play Abby's husband. They were husband and wife in The Big Bang Theory. So it makes sense, but it was just kind of out of the blue. It just kind of happens, ends on a wait, who's that? Followed by the words, to be continued. And I went into the season, because we watched it after it was all over, knowing they're not getting a fourth season.
Yeah.
So there's not just the what they think is funny didn't make me laugh, but they seem to be presumably so sure they were going to get another season that ending it on that kind of a cliffhanger made sense to them.
Yeah.
And I don't know how the show does in the ratings or did in the ratings. I get that I am not a barometer of being able to judge what makes a good sitcom, what makes a bad sitcom. But there are shows that favorably impress me, and there are shows that I just watch wondering, how did this keep getting made? And of course, this one didn't. It stopped after this.
When the gay men's choir that had, what, 5-6 people in it? Mm-hmm. When it was in the Funniest Judge episode, there was no mention by Abby of, wait, you were in my court a while back. Where's the loyalty?
Yeah, yeah. Because they were in a previous episode. That was one of them where they started to realize we could do callbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Because we also got the callback to the mobster.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, about the only other recurring, and I hesitate to use the term character, was the one guy in the courthouse, Simon, I think his name was.
Simon Sandy.
Sandy, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, he never really spoke.
Yep.
But it's, we need something funny. So he's one of the people sitting at the other table or doing the, mm-hmm. you know, one of the other regulars in the courthouse.
I liked aspects of the acting, the guy who played Flaubert did, but that character made no sense to me.
The actor has talent.
Yes.
I did not like the character. And part of it was his role in the narrative made no sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
He had been a judge. He had been a clerk. They admit he does what needs to be done. And this season, they started referring to him as Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Because Flaubert's apparently now his last name. Because that didn't seem to be the case in previous seasons.
Yeah.
So they were trying to figure out how to use the character and to ground him a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And I get they can't just take the characters from the old show and kind of translate them into ones here. But he didn't seem to have an analog or corresponding person in the original show.
Well, the character didn't have a logic to it. I mean, you don't go from being a judge on the bench down to being one of the lawyers. I want to say he did defense at one point.
He did whatever was needed. He was the catch-all.
Yes.
He was there to fill out the cast, essentially. And it made no sense to me. It might have worked better if he had been another bailiff.
Mm-hmm.
Because he almost kind of sort of could have filled the role of Bull.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who will kind of believe anything or do any, you know.
Yeah.
And again, actor has talent. The character was just all over the map.
Well, in that final episode where Abby's basically trying to convince two teenagers they don't actually want to get married, it reminded me more of an episode of The Cosby Show.
Yeah.
That was the one where Theo is ready to go out on his own, so they clear out his bedroom, basically.
And not just a theoretical episode of The Cosby Show, but a particular episode of The Cosby Show.
Yeah.
It's like they're cribbing from that script.
Yeah. You know, they empty his bedroom and they say, okay, you're renting it now. And they basically give him Monopoly money.
Yeah, I remember the episode. If it had been based on the original Night Court, I mean, what Harry would have done was actually talk to the kids. Okay, why do you want to get married?
Yeah.
What's going on? What brought you to my courtroom? Versus Abby's just solve. Let the problem be damned.
Yeah.
So they just, I don't want to say fundamentally misunderstood the original show. They watched it, they thought it was funny, they thought they could replicate it, but really all they were doing was aping it, not reinvigorating it.
Yes.
We've seen other shows that hit a point where because either of cast turnover or whatever, they've effectively rebooted the show inside of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Stargate SG-1, by the 8th or 9th season, they'd done enough changes to who was in the team and who was in charge of the base and stuff like that. But they could have gone for another 8 seasons at that point.
Yeah.
And there have been one or two other shows that kind of got to that point where, okay, you've, I don't say finished what you had originally set out to do. You've now hit an inflection point where you can go for another arc of length.
Mm-hmm.
And if this had been, okay, Harry had his duration, there'd been somebody else, and now she takes over, or maybe two somebody else's or something. But it's a passing of a torch. Because, I mean, they missed an opportunity there of whoever she was replacing. If that had been, I almost would have had that be Dan.
Mm, yeah.
Or something of that sort. Or he knows that person's retiring, finagles it, and makes that happen. But it seemed to be squatters taking over the show versus a passing of the torch or anything of that sort. And I wanted to like it.
Me too.
I don't think the cast is bad or anything of the sort, but I just kept wondering to myself, why is this not making me laugh?
Yeah.
Again, I'd chuckle occasionally. Other times, it's like, I see where they might have thought that was funny, but I disagree.
There were times when it was the delivery, the reaction shots, the interaction between the actors that was entertaining me, as opposed to the dialogue, the script, the plot.
It's funny because as you're starting to say that, what came to my mind was there were times where the delivery and the interaction and stuff like that made me feel like I was watching a sitcom being filmed, not actually watching the sitcom.
Yeah.
There were times they would do the almost over-the-top delivery and seem to be expectantly waiting for the laugh that didn't always come.
Mm-hmm.
And I get comedy is a hard thing because what seems funny, once it's on paper and then now being performed out, can fall flat.
Yeah.
It loses the spontaneity of it. But I've also seen things where, even on second or third viewing, it's still funny.
Yeah.
And maybe that's some of what it was lacking.
Yes. There was no timelessness to this.
None whatsoever. And the funny thing is, they probably could have used some of the same cases from the original series. Because that went, 9 years? It went on for a long time. They had plenty of cases to pull from.
Yeah.
Because those were also fuller seasons than these, this was 18 episodes this season?
Yeah. I mean, it's 47 episodes for the full run.
Wow. That's just not much. They had plenty of cases they could have cherry-picked from, pulled those, done a new twist, either if it's the same gag or flipped version of it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least gotten some ideas with it of, okay, how would this have bit with a phone booth or whatever? How would that play out in the cell phone culture or something?
Yeah.
Or, I don't know. I feel that there was a lot more they could have and should have learned from the original show to try to stay in the vein, the tone, the style of it, not just the trappings of it.
Yeah, that's a good description.
Because as much as they got the courthouse look and feel and layout down, well, it looked like the same courthouse, it felt like a different one.
Well, the judge's chamber never felt truly lived in.
We would go there for scenes, but we didn't seem to go there for moments.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to articulate exactly what I'm thinking with that, but...
No, but Harry had some great moments, especially, well, him with Dan in the chambers. That was where the humanity really shined through.
Well, there were times where the characters would kind of let their guards down and be people.
Mm-hmm.
Here, the characters, if they ever let their guard down, would become caricatures.
Yeah.
And it felt like it was an extended skit on Saturday Night Live versus a sitcom almost. And it's easy and hard to take a known quantity, completely recast it, whether time has elapsed or not, and to have that new thing that's trying to be the old thing be successful.
Mm-hmm.
They did 3 seasons of Airwolf, and then it became, I guess, a syndicated show for a 4th season, where they replaced everybody. But it was the same show, effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And it was night and day difference.
Yeah.
And part of that was budget, etc. But part of it was you've got different people doing the familiar routine.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be compared, and it's easy for that comparison to be found lacking.
I'm thinking about those, was it the Norman Lear shows that had the live performances in old script decades later?
When they would bring new people in to do effectively a live televised stage show of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I watched a couple of them. There were a few where they really seemed to understand what made it work. And there were a few where the actors were doing impersonations of.
Mm. Yeah, which is dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it also, in some cases, really showed a true love of the original cast and the mm-hmm. material. I think it was the Facts of Life one.
Yeah.
Where one of them sang the opening song to kick the thing off.
Yeah, Lisa Welchel.
Yeah. And she looked like she did on the show. She barely aged today. It was amazing. I think with Night Court, since so many of the originals had passed,
mm-hmm.
there were very few they could get to come back. I mean, obviously, they had Larroquette the entire time. I think they could have given him better material.
Yeah.
He was getting nominated for awards practically every year of the original show.
Yeah.
Until he said, I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, yeah.
Here, I don't know that he did anything worthy of getting it. And it's certainly not through a lack of talent on his part. It's a lack of material.
Yeah.
They got Roz back. Beyond that, I'm not thinking there are any other kind of survivors, really, of the original series.
Marky Post is gone. Yeah.
Harry Anderson passed.
Yeah.
Charlie Robinson, who played Mac, passed. Richard Mull was alive during the first season, possibly into the second, but then he passed.
Mm.
So, and I don't know that they would have wanted to have come back for a variety of reasons. And you shouldn't need them to come back.
Yeah.
But there should be something that makes it feel more, I don't say like an organic continuation of, but Harry having been a comedian, a magician, and stuff like that was part and parcel of his character.
Mm-hmm.
Abby didn't have those traits.
What she had was kindness that was very hard for them to show on screen. They felt the need to tell us.
It wasn't that she was kind. It's that she was overbearingly kind.
Mm-hmm.
She was assertively kind in an annoying way.
Yeah.
I will save these kids from themselves, you know, consequences be damned almost.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the way the characters were set up at the get-go could have and should have been thought through a little better. Mm-hmm. Easy to say that in hindsight, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah, of course, but still.
But you would have had the Flaubert problem not happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could have set up a better reason for Dan to actually stick around the whole time and to show how he's still Dan Fielding.
Yes.
But not the Dan Fielding he was 30, 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been very interesting to have had him grow over that time, acknowledge, relish who he was, yet be embarrassed
mm-hmm.
and glad not to be that anymore.
Yeah.
And to have had somebody else in the courtroom who was in danger of becoming that next Dan Fielding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that could have been a lot of fun, but they didn't seem to want to go there. Granted, it's not his show per se, but if you're going to bring him back, use him.
Yes.
So I was really hoping they were going to do better. I kept hoping, particularly as we watched this season, where so much of it fell flat, that they would be picking it up by the end of the season and then for it to end not having done so on a cliffhanger that I know is never going to get resolved, nor do I really care if it gets resolved,
yeah,
was disappointing. And you had an opportunity here, and I don't want to say it was squandered, but it was not as well used as the original series deserves.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, I was disappointed. It had a couple of chuckles here and there, but nothing that made me think, wow, that was a really good episode.
I think there was only one episode the whole season that we came out of it saying, that was pretty good. In hindsight, I can't remember what it was.
It says something right there, doesn't
it? Yeah.
I guess that's the Achilles heel of this series, is it's forgettable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that can't be said of the original Night Court.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows, another 30, 40 years, maybe somebody will give another swing at it. Maybe they'll do better.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
Thanks for listening to this episode. If you liked this episode, please spread the word about the Comic Book Page podcast by telling your friends and posting a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And please, join our Slack community and let us know what you thought of this episode. I do this podcast because I enjoy talking about comics. So let's talk about comics. The show notes, forum, and instructions for how to join our Slack channel can be found at www.comicbookpage.com. The opinions of the co-hosts and guests are their own. The Comic Book Page podcast is copyright John Mayall. And thanks again for listening.